Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one goth, and happy St. Patrick's Day to all. I hope everybody is out there drinking a green beer today, having a good old time.
That's right. I'm a little leprechaun of joy.
And I'm a little leprechaun of sadness.
That's right. You sure is.
What am I a little leprechaun of?
Neutrality. Apathy. Yes, leprechaun apathy. Of apathy.
Lukewarm water.
Yes, I love being a leprechaun of apathy. That's like my...
Honestly, fucking perfect for you.
Yeah, it's pretty great. I hope everybody is... Okay, I have a question. Is St. Patrick's Day always on a Thursday or it's always on March 17th?
It's always on March 17th.
Okay, that's what I thought. I think. So it's a good day for St. Patrick's Day. Maybe everybody could be, you know, you can be hungover on a Friday, I think. You know, it would suck if St. Patrick's Day was on Monday.
Yes. You can be hungover on a Friday unless you're an ER doctor. Then you should never be hungover at work.
Or maybe an airplane pilot, too.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Airplane pilots, they have literally an autopilot function.
Except
they
for just, when
they need our friend Louise is working for an airline flight attendant. Their rules about alcohol being like in your blood prior to a flight are so stringent, like that you can get fucking arrested if you have alcohol in your system when you're flying. So,
I mean, you would hope so, you know, like
that's right.
Hopefully there isn't a drunk pilot, like holding the lives of 150 people in their hands just because they want like a little martini. Yes.
But there's a difference between being drunk and hungover, but pilots shouldn't be hungover either. Yeah. Pilots don't get any joy because our precious cargo.
Well, you know, like another job you probably shouldn't be drunk or hungover for is skydiving. And what I have learned is when I went skydiving, those instructors, at least the place that I went skydiving, they sure just go out there on little to no sleep and lots of alcohol. So
what I learned from your skydiving adventure is that I'm never going skydiving.
Yeah.
But I will say this, the we're going to get into some St. Patty's Day facts, but apparently there's an excessive amount of people that call in sick the day after St. Patty's Day. And apparently it costs the United States $160 billion every year in lost worker productivity.
I thought that was such a good fact.
I think that is a good fact. But you know what? It doesn't sound like it's taxpayer dollars. It sounds like it's corporate dollars. And yes. I can live with that. Lost corporate dollars I can live with. Lots tax dollars. Well,
yeah.
That's
enough. I'll hold my tongue on how our tax dollars are wasted.
All right, Billy. Well, we know what day it is, but give us a little background on good old St. Patty's Day.
Yes, it's March 17th, and in 461 AD, St. Patrick, the Christian missionary, bishop, and apostle of Ireland, died in Saul Downpatrick, Ireland. Now, what we know about St. Patrick is he wrote a book during his last years with the very goth title of Confessio.
Confessio,
yes.
That's so goth. I'm surprised. I wonder if there's an album by... Yeah. Yeah.
He was,
what a great name for, like, if I have a son.
Yeah, Confessio.
No. So truthful.
He was born in Scotland, probably. He was captured and made into a slave at age 16 by Irish marauders. He worked as a herder in Ireland, and that's when he really got into religion. He followed the voice he heard in a dream one night. He escapes back over to the British area, and then he's reunited with his family, and he decides, you know, study for the priesthood. He becomes an ordained bishop, and he lives in poverty. He teaches, he travels, he works tirelessly. And a lot of legends have come up around this guy. The one legend that everybody talks about is that he drove all of the serpents and snakes out of Ireland.
Yes.
Now, there's a naturalist named Nigel Monaghan who says... a guy that looks
believes
at nature.
In nature?
Yes.
That's what I thought. That just observes nature?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, he studies it. Yes.
Oh.
See, and I always want to know more about these words. We've thrown creationist around. It's not what I thought that meant.
Right.
So I just wanted to be clear. I'm sorry. I'm the idiot here.
Came out as a creationist podcast, it did not go well.
What was the backstory on the creationist thing?
Billy said something about Darwin. What did he say, Billy? You didn't believe in something, and this person took the leap. Of suggesting that he meant
maybe we're talking like something about evolution. And
do you know what it was? I think it was about evolution. I think I said like 40,000 years or something like that.
Yeah. You threw out an arbitrary number and she clung to it and was like, creationist.
We've been around.
And that's
for
why when you said naturalist, I'm like, years, I want to know more just so I don't sound even dumber than I do by asking. Dumb questions. Friends.
By the way, just a little aside, I cannot believe. I mean, I know there's creationists out there, but like Shayna on Love is Blind, just a creationist out there on reality TV, just living in
being
a big
a
city, being a creationist.
You know what? I'm okay if you're a creationist or not. Just don't be a climate change denier. Be a creationist. That's okay. That's already happened. I'm fine with that.
They probably go hand in hand.
Just help us fix the planet before we explode. But let me tell you this, though. So this guy... Nigel, he's the keeper of natural history at the National Museum of Ireland, said, at no time has there ever been any suggestion of snakes in Ireland. So there was nothing for St. Patrick to banish.
That is so rude. He was the Pied Piper of snakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were never there. Also, like a lot of his, his direction in life was driven by his dreams.
Mm-hmm. What were his dreams? Snakes?
Voices telling him to do different things. I think one of his dreams was to go back to Britain or something like that and to go fight the good fight. Like he's listening to that inner.
You shouldn't listen to your dreams.
No.
You shouldn't take them literally. That's for sure. Because Lord, I'd be in trouble.
I'm a bad person in my dreams.
Bad person. The only ones I remember are always just burning my life to it's like the second to last episode of Euphoria for me. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
No.
But the protagonist she hits rock bottom. She burns her life to the ground. And I'm like, that's every dream I have. And if I followed that suit.
Sometimes I really wonder. I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast before.
Please do.
But I'm like, is reality really in our heads, in our dreams? And our waking life is what's not real. Like we're really living when we're sleeping. And it does that mean I'm a bad person if I'm a bad person in my dreams?
There's a lot to unpack there. I would say yes, yes, and yes. But the question is, why don't we remember more of our real lives then?
Yeah.
You don't remember much of your waking life either, Alexis, so.
Fuck.
God, this is such a stoner conversation.
I cherry pick what to remember. I don't remember.
Selective memory. I think that's like something you learn from trauma, you know?
For sure.
100%. Okay. Anyways.
Yes. So and we're gonna be doing some history of St. Paddy's Day crimes on True Crime Rewind.
We are, but what is our true crime in real time today, Billy?
All right. Now, there's a scam going on.
I love a scam.
Yes. And
like
this
the Tinder
was just,
swindler?
This, oh my God, Tinder swindler. It actually does have to do with dating sites. And you're not going to like the name of this scam, but it is...
it's called Moisty Scam?
No, it's not.
Is it poorly branded? I hate a poorly branded anything.
Okay, it's called Pig Butchering.
Ew.
And, I hate that.
This guy, well, you're going to really hate it once we get to, you know, what they're talking about here. So what is that Chinese organized crime gangs are posing as attractive entrepreneurs and attractive professionals. They're using dating apps like Tinder and Grindr and Hinge, and they're targeting everybody, people in the East, people in the West. They have a whole sort of script that they use. And they're using technological tools. They're using fake social media profiles. They're using psychological manipulation. And they're tricking people into engaging in a romance, saying that, oh, I don't want your money or anything like that, but I want to build a world with you, and I want to build a future with you. Let's invest in cryptocurrency.
Oh, no.
Red flag.
Wait, so did they make up their own cryptocurrency and that's how they're trying to like inflate it?
It's fake. No, they didn't even go that far. It's just fake cryptocurrency. They made up a fake website and everything to make it look like it.
Are they using, so they're not, it's not even real crypto. They're
no,
just
it's
like,
not even
it's
real
like a
crypto.
Venmo splash page.
That kind
it's
of,
like,
yeah, exactly.
Here,
yes.
Send me, let's invest in this Doge 2.0 mm-hmm. and here's a splash page and then it's really just like a PayPal.
If they
but
were
it must
smart,
be encrypted, though. It must be a little smarter than a normal.
Now, according to thing. The global
well,
anti-
wait, Jack, I feel like okay. Jack was onto something.
Oh, no, I was going to say if they were smart, they should have just made up their own cryptocurrency because that is actually a really.
Yeah, they would have been.
A legal scam that they could use to up the price of whatever coin that they are shilling out there.
Yeah. Okay, so then they shower their victims with messages of love and affection day and night. So they're like the dream romantic partner. The
right.
Global Anti-Scam Organization refers to this stage of the scam as fattening or raising the pig before slaughtering it. The pig being the unsuspecting
person. Who came up
person.
With this name?
I yes. hate it. It's they're so misogynistic.
But that's what, this, that's what
just,
they're calling it.
They're using like, they're coming up with different not euphemisms, but whatevers for
metaphors.
Love bombing. Yeah.
Wait, I have a really important question, Billy, before you continue.
Uh-huh.
If you had your own coin, what would your, like, I know I'd be Tank Coin. Like, what coins would you, what would your coin be?
What would our Bitcoin be?
No, like, you, Billy Jensen, Billy's coin.
What would my Billy's coin be?
And then Jack's next, so think of yours, Jack.
God, I don't know. Probably the
Justice coin.
The Justice coin. Justice coin. Spend it wisely. All right, Jack, come on. What are you going to do?
What would mine be?
Sandwich coin.
You can only use it to buy virtual sandwiches
virtual
in the metaverse.
Virtual sandwiches, and that's it.
Yeah, you'd be sandwich coin, Jerry coin.
Jerry coin's
not bad. It has
Jerry
a ring
coin
to
has
it.
A ring to it.
I don't know. Indifference coin.
We'll ruminate on this.
Okay, so they are they're doing this a lot. This is becoming a really big thing now. And because the it's so organized, everybody thinks like, oh, I can never be catfished. They really appear to be made up of experts in psychological profiling who can really hook their victims with these scripts and algorithms, making them think that this really is real.
Wow.
And the UK actually is trying to propose an online safety bill that will ask, you know, that will really kind of force online companies to proactively tackle this kind of content.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the things that companies do is that you see, you know, Facebook does this and everything. It's like they just launch something and then they say because of the, you know, Section 240 of the Communications Decency Act, anything that's on there isn't our fault. You know, someone's just using our platform and you can do what you want.
Right.
But, you know, you got to take some control over what you create.
Facebook's getting a little better though. I literally had Facebook open the other day and I was driving or whatever and I like clickety clacked some things without even realizing it, and I got like a prompt that was like, you didn't read the article, are you sure you want to share it? Because I guess I had clicked share when I was just fumbling around with my phone on somebody's link, and I was like, oh, they're calling me out for it at least, where it's
that's
like
pretty good. Yeah,
yeah, you're not just sharing based on a headline, but at least they've programmed it to know. But like these apps, they have the technology. And here's the thing, they are developing technology and have the accountability to fucking take our data. Like, the least they could do is protect
What?
People. They have the resources and the money and the technological Absolutely. Know-how to do it.
But who, like, what, are you saying that they, that, like, Tinder should be doing this?
Yes.
But aren't those private messages? Like, wouldn't that be, like, an invasion of privacy or? Well,
you know what? I think it's definitely a gray area, but I think it's kind of like, if somebody complains about one thing, they should be able to track the IP addresses to an organization that's doing it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they should be able to track the individual, but I feel like it'd be hard if it's just like they're just using that as like a point of contact and then taking it off and using WhatsApp or text or whatever. But man, there are lots of swindlers out there.
You know, one of the things.
And they always figure out how to bypass. Like if you put up an obstacle, they'll figure out a way around it. So
they're professionals.
I feel for these companies that like have to combat it because it's never going to be ending. You need a whole division dedicated towards it.
Yeah.
Now there's four stages to it. There's packaging, raising, killing, and then killed. And then the packaging is
presented. I hate that they gamified this.
I know. The packaging is that you present yourself as a good looking person. You pretend to be wealthy. This is really interesting. You have really good photos of food, like almost professionally taking photos of food and selfies and location photos. This is really important. Fluent Chinese.
It's dream building. It's like, ooh, what is this person's life like? How do I integrate myself into it? Ooh, they're foodies. Ooh, they travel. Like, that's what I want to do. It's like, make it idealistic.
Too busy to meet you, but too shy for video chats because of past trauma. So that's the packaging. And then the raising is like greeting you every morning and night, confessing love between 1 to 2 weeks, opening up about your finances, saying that you're not dreaming big enough. We can dream bigger together now, that kind of thing.
No, it's straight up Tinder Swindler 101. It's exactly like, I mean, except it's just, he spent money on them first.
Yeah, I mean, it's classic. Mm-hmm. Classic like dating app scam artistry.
Yeah. And they're teaching you how to trade and when you can do the trade. And they're like, once you deposit real money, you can take it out whenever. So then you deposit the 10 grand, but you can never take it out. That's the thing. And people are losing their houses and cars. And this is a real thing. This is really happening.
I can't believe people are out there like that. No fucks.
Evil. Yep. It's just evil shit. I hate it. And it's like sociopaths don't have to hurt people physically to be life ruiners. You know, it's really tragic and awful. And especially the pandemic has really made a lot of people feel lonely. They didn't go out and start dating. Like, people are a lot more less embarrassed to be dating online. I feel like the taboo is completely lifted with it.
Oh, yeah.
It has been forever, but it's just like people even who resisted now, like, we had no other choice.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's really fucked up that's going on.
Yeah. And then they tell you, you know, they help you make the minimum payment because they loan you money all inside this app, all inside this platform.
And it's your own money they're loaning or some shit?
Well, no, it's fake. It's completely fake. Oh, it's not even money at all. It's just a number on a screen. And then you'll lose a lot in one day. The victim loses a lot in one day. They're telling you, you can't get it out because there's an extra verification fee or taxes. And then when you start complaining, they guilt you, they blame you, they gaslight you. They claim that like their investments are stuck as well. And then they coach you into borrowing from family and friends to put more stuff in there.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And then, of course, if you decline, this is another thing, they may threaten you with any sensitive pictures that you've sent.
Oh, man. Beware.
No pictures to strangers, friends.
Yeah.
So scary.
No pictures to strangers.
And then they block you, and the platform will lock you out of your account, and then that's it.
Well, I'm glad that they caught them, at least.
Well, they caught some of them, but I mean, it's just going to be...
I'm sure they
it's
took
like a
the
template.
Website off.
It's like a template people are using that I'm sure there's like many...
Copy-paste.
Ugh.
Yeah, gosh. They said 67% of the victims are women ages 25 to 40.
Oh, really?
32% of the victims have graduate degrees.
So I'm being smart.
Well, it's also like that is the age range of people that would be willing to invest in crypto, I think. Like. Mm-hmm.
Because they know what it is. Yeah.
And have any dispensable income to invest in crypto.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yikes. Well, beware out there. Don't let anybody you don't know talk you into investing into crypto.
The only crypto you should be investing in is Tank Coin.
Coming soon.
On the
coming
up and soon. Up.
On the up and up. All right. Well, that was very interesting, Billy. Thanks for bringing that to the table, you know?
Yes, I think we're going to talk a little bit more about scams because, you know, I did a search for crime and then news and then it was all war crimes going on in Ukraine.
Yeah.
And then I did scams and it was like 15 brand new ones. And that was the one that rose to the top.
Okay. Wow. We can do like scams for the next couple weeks because at least it's like a little less depressing.
Intense.
The average loss per victim is $127,000.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
How do they pinpoint these people with so much money? That's fucking crazy. Yeah.
They don't. I mean, these people also put themselves in a hole, like literally take out lines of credit and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Because I think once you start to get a hint of like losing, it's like you don't want to admit.
You're so desperate.
Yeah. You just don't want to admit that. You don't want to believe it. It's dissociative.
Yeah. Oof. All right. Well, more scams coming in our future. But now we have got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
Okay, welcome to On the Stand. I think that today we're making this a little bit St. Patty's Day themed. I don't know, might be a loose theme, might be a really tight theme. We'll see as we each bring something to the table today. Do either of you like to start?
I'd like to start. I never get to start.
Okay. As Billy raised his hand.
Okay, sorry, Billy, but like how many times have I started it?
No,
almost
you've not
never.
Said it's usually Jack, yes.
It's usually Jack.
Well, because
or
you guys want me to go first.
That's because you usually have something prepared.
No, I just. In all actuality, I just don't want to forget my idea.
Okay, go for it.
It's happened where I'm like...
Okay, it's in the brain. Let it go.
So, Jacqueline, when we lived together a few times, I have a very visceral memory of us going to Big Wang's like for St. Patty's Day and doing Irish car bombs.
Yes.
And if... For those of you who don't know what an Irish car bomb is, it's a shot of Jameson that you drop into like a half a glass full of Guinness.
Yep.
And then you throw it back and it like Guinness is a really thick beer if you've never had it. It's like kind of like a milkshake. But when you drink it, it sort of like curdles but it tastes like Bailey's.
You have to chug it or else it will really curdle.
But you chug it, but it tastes kind of like Bailey's. It's delicious tasting, but it's a very heavy experience. But this got me thinking. I don't dislike these kinds of situations where like I also, and this is disgusting, I like Jaeger bombs too. I mean, I haven't done a Jaeger bomb in 10 years, but I would because Jaegermeister is disgusting on itself. But when you put it in a little Red Bull, suddenly it tastes like a fruit punchy, delicious situation.
Yeah.
So my, what I'm putting on the stand is like shot drink hybrid. Drop the glass in, like sake bombs remind me of this. I love the spirit of it. I feel like for St. Patrick's Day, it's a great, fun, rousing thing to do. Everyone gets really amped on it. Even people who don't fucking like it do it, and everyone feels good after because of the camaraderie and morale is super high.
It's very social.
Yeah,
very social.
You're not doing that at home.
You're not doing it alone. That's for sure.
I mean, somebody might be
doing. An Irish car bomb alone is the saddest fucking prospect I've ever heard. No one does them alone. I need to believe that.
I love an Irish car bomb.
They're only delicious.
Only on St. Patrick's Day. Like, I don't think I've ever had one not on St. Patrick's Day, but I love it for that reason. Any time that I can think that I've taken one, I was having such a great time, and it is such a camaraderie, social, just like, amped up sort of a thing to do. I mean, I don't know why we've gotten into this in the last couple of years of somehow taking shots again, Lex. Like,
I
didn't take shots for like 10 years and all of a sudden we're taking shots again.
I don't know why, but it's because we're eager to get to the party. Like,
yes,
we want to be, if we're going out at all, we work so hard, we never go out.
Yes.
If we go out once a month, we're getting to that fucking party quickly as we can, and we're staying there. That's why.
It's so true. Because it's like, we're not like casually going out anymore. And for me, it's like if I drink three drinks or if I take five shots, like I'm going to be hungover both ways. So I might as well have had the best time that I could have.
Two wines make me hungover. I'd rather have it be a hang. If I'm going to be hungover because I'm like, I'm going to Jack's engagement tonight. I want a party. Like, yes. I'm here for a good time.
Yes. No, so then I definitely agree with you that an Irish car bomb is chef's kiss.
Yes. Mm. If you are in Ireland, though, do not order an Irish car bomb.
Why would
you
call like that? It that?
Because there is, you know, it's some rude. People some people equate it to ordering something based on 9/11 or something like that, because there was a lot of people that died in car bombs.
No, I didn't even really think yeah. about the name.
Yes.
Sorry about that. That is what they call them here.
What do they call them there?
They don't think they do that.
I don't think they, well, it was invented over there, but it's just, it eventually started calling like that. Like, I think the name was IRA at one point, and then, you know, for the Irish Republican Army and kind of thing like that.
All right. Wait, well, the name of the shot was?
Yeah.
Okay. IRA works. Whatever you guys want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whatever works.
I just like the good vibes of it.
All right. Irish car bomb is not guilty. Not in guilty.
In the template of drinking, mm-hmm. dropping shot yes, in liquid, dropping the shot chugging. Into a beer. Like shot into other alcohol, chug, mm-hmm. is an art that I think we all need to get back in touch with.
Yeah, I like the urgency of it, especially for the Irish car bomb, because it, like we said, it does curdle. It's like, you got to fucking chug that. It's not like a sake bomb that you can kind of, if you wanted to, sip on it, even though it's gross. Yeah, you got to chug that shit. Mm. Love
it. I'm sorry. Actually, it was created in 1979 by a Connecticut bartender named Charles Oat. So and he regrets calling it that.
Honestly, Oat, was he a horse? Because that's how it sounds.
Yeah. The Odie.
Oat. Charles Oat.
Yeah. Could have been, yeah, should have just been called the oat
horses
bomb.
Like okay. oats.
The oat shot.
I'm going to go now.
Oat bomb.
Where
go
the
ahead.
Fuck are you going? You're at home.
No, he's going.
Oh. I'm like, he's had enough. I'm going to leave.
What if you just left?
I'm like, what do we do this time?
You know what? I'm going to leave.
I'm going to leave.
I'm like, wait, why? We're in the middle of this. Sorry.
All right. So, you know, sticking with more of the bar theme, during the pandemic, as the bars started opening up, they started encroaching into the roads, and you started seeing patios going into the roads. Some of them are sticking around. I'm for it. I like the idea of having more outdoor spaces. Granted, you know, we're in a southern climate that you can use them for longer, but the idea of getting more cars off the streets, but a lot of people don't like it because it's less parking and it actually clogs up traffic. So I wanted to ask you, what do you think about the patios in the roads?
I want to be outside all the time. Like, if there is an option to sit outside at a restaurant, I don't care how cold it is. It could be snowing. I always want to be outside. So I loved when this started to happen. And I'm glad that in California, or especially in LA, it's actually kind of funny because a lot of restaurants don't have outdoor seating.
Yeah.
Like, you would think that they would. And also in LA, we have very few rooftops, like a rooftop restaurant, rooftop bar. So I think that it's something that actually we needed because we do have the nice weather to support it all the time. I love it. There is one restaurant around me, though, that their outdoor seating they made really yucky, and now I don't want to go there anymore. Mm. So like just
define
like,
yucky.
So the restaurant is gorgeous. They just never really had any outdoor seating. And at first they opened it up into their parking lot and had cute little umbrellas and all this kind of stuff. Then they decided to get this tent, one large tent, but it goes all corners are down except for one.
Yeah.
So it is so fucking dark in there. And then it's also just one of those plastic tents. And this is a nice restaurant. So it kind of like brings the whole
vibe down.
Vibe so down. And it's so gorgeous. And they have the best food. And I haven't eaten there in a year and a half because I'm like, I don't want to sit in like a
that
dingy,
dank, sad place.
Basement. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's so sad.
Okay. Yeah. So. What do you think, Lex?
Well, I have never been negatively affected by this. Like, I can't remember a single time where I'm like, God damn it, I've been looking for parking for 1 hour to go to this place.
Yeah, like, and we live in LA. Like, it should affect us. Well, we would be affected the most.
Well, I think parking sucks no matter what here. So I think I was always sad about parking and dealing with that shit. Giving me an outdoor space to arrive to once I've triumphed over parking, I think has only made things better.
Okay.
And honestly, like, I just want our restaurants to stay in business. I want servers and bartenders to stay in business. And you know what? Frankly, I like to drink when I go out to dinner. I'm Ubering anyway.
Yeah.
And also, especially in LA, I can't really think of any restaurant that's actually gone out into the street. It's mostly just the sidewalk. So yeah, it's not really affecting
all the restaurants on Larchmont have.
Yeah, Burbank they too. Did.
Yeah, they've taken parking. But like Larchmont, it's worth it. There's side streets, Uber, whatever. Mm-hmm.
It's worth it for the restaurant to be able to fit more tables too, because they can employ more people. It only has a positive effect.
And they took such a hit. Like, they need to make up for everything they lost.
Yeah.
All right. Not guilty.
Not guilty.
All right.
Okay. On the stand for me today is the concept of wearing green for St. Patrick's Day. And maybe it's even taking it a step further, is pinching somebody that's not wearing green.
What? Did someone touch you? Did someone hurt you?
Well, you know that.
I thought it was you get punched too. Make that up?
That's birthdays.
Birthdays?
Yeah, you get birthday punches. You never had that? You get a punch for each year of your birthday.
You actually use birthday punches as a reference a lot. And I'm always like, what is this man talking about?
Okay, I use it for one.
Like, I got a lot of birthday punches. Like,
that was only when we got the shots that's only when we got the vaccine. I don't use it a lot.
It was a wild metaphor. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
When does your arm ever hurt? And it's like birthday punches.
I've never heard that before.
Me either.
Maybe they didn't do it to ladies.
No, okay. What I'm bringing on the stand is pinching somebody that's not wearing green on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, no, that's not a thing.
Because there are adults that do this. And I am a very festive person. Like, if I'm going out on St. Patrick's Day, I'm going to wear green. I think it's cute. It's like a whole fun thing. Which, by the way, the official color of St. Patrick's Day is actually blue, not green.
Mm-hmm. What?
Which I thought was a very interesting fact. But I think that it's quite... an encroachment on somebody's bubble to be pinching them.
Yes. I don't want to be touched.
No, don't do that.
For not wearing a specific color. Like, some people just don't really care, and you should just let them live their lives.
And we should start wearing blue, actually, because there's a lot of pictures of St. Patrick wearing blue. Blue was commonly used on flags and coat of arms. I think it came to be green because Ireland is the Emerald Isle, but... No pinching. Guilty.
I was going to ask what the history of the green is, other than it just being an Irish...
Yeah, just an Irish deal.
...holiday. They probably think that's so stupid, Irish people.
Yes, they probably do. I mean, I think we'll get into it in True Crime Rewind, but St. Patrick's Day is kind of an Americanized holiday. Like, 100%. We just butchered it. Like, we do everything.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But we'll get back to that in True Crime Rewind. Pinching somebody on St. Patrick's Day for not wearing green is guilty.
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 Okay. Well, now we're going to go to True Crime Rewind.
When I was growing up, I took French in high school, but I could never get the language to stick. I wanted to be fluent so bad, but it never happened. I just couldn't focus and I couldn't practice enough and it didn't work. But thankfully, there's Rosetta Stone, which is the most trusted language learning program, and it's available on desktop or it can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone is different. It immerses you in so many ways. And with its intuitive process, you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, and then sentences. And before you know it, boom, conversations. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's True Accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the First Degree listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/first. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/first today. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for all of your springtime goals. If you don't have time, Factor's ready-to-eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes. So you just get to eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You really just heat and savor the good stuff without all of the stress. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Plus, you can pause and reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution to premium, fast meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. I'm so busy, so it's amazing to just have Factor meals in the fridge for whenever I realize that I'm starving and I don't have any time to cook anything. They're amazing, they're healthy, and they keep you fueled all day long. Head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's degree 50 at factormeals.com/degree50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and the real world makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For the real real, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world, and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on therealreal.com using code FIRST. That's therealreal.com using the code FIRST.
True crime.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to True Crime Rewind, the St. Patrick's Day edition. I will say this, in between the break, I looked up what a Irish car bomb should be called, an Irish slammer. So if you want to order an Irish slammer.
Irish slammer. Pog now, reference?
What's that?
A pog reference?
Is it a pog reference? No, I think it probably happened a little bit before.
Slammer is a cool word. Maybe that's a good baby name.
Slammer. It's not bad.
Slammer. It's not
I've
bad.
Heard worse.
Yeah.
Slammer.
Okay, so St. Patrick's Day, you know, the first St. Patrick's Day parade took place in the United States.
Yes.
Yes. Actually, I don't even – do they still have St. Patrick's Day parades? I mean, it used
yes.
to be a big deal.
Oh, they do.
In New York and, you know, and if you want to watch a St. Patrick's Day parade, watch the jump around video from House of Pain.
Oh, yes.
Got it right there. St. Patrick's Day facts. Drunk driving rates spike. But here's the most important thing. 80% of those arrested are twice over the legal limit.
Jeez. People need to just not be driving
Uber.
When they're drinking at all, ever.
Yes,
there's
ever.
No excuse. Mm-hmm.
Take a bird.
Bird could almost be worse.
Walk.
Now,
walk.
It's the fourth most popular drinking day in America. Name the other three.
Well, I know.
The day before Thanksgiving, 4th of July, New Year's, and Halloween.
Okay, no.
Come on.
Yeah, right.
I love the day before Thanksgiving. Honestly, to be honest, they probably didn't even take that into account, and it probably is.
But did I get the others? President's
Almost, yeah,
Memorial yes. Day.
President's Day.
Memorial Day. Okay, now
remember
am I
that
right?
Arbor Day?
No.
Okay.
Wait, what are the ones?
All right, 4th of July.
Got it.
New Year's.
Got it.
Christmas.
Don't okay. got it.
I underestimated how all of our collective family traumas.
Yes.
For sure.
It's true.
Sorry.
Yes.
I thought like Christmas, we wake up in onesies and open gifts and like... But sure,
yeah, but then,
I'm definitely not getting hammered.
I'm not
on
getting blackout on Christmas either. So that's shocking.
All right, cabbage shipments increased.
Wait,
70%.
What's the other holiday? That was only three.
That's right. That was the fourth one. St. Patrick's Day is the fourth.
Yeah. Oh,
Okay. I know. She's President's Day.
Memorial President's Day.
13 million pints of Guinness are served every St. Paddy's Day. But do you know what? St. Patrick's Day used to be a dry holiday.
According to who?
In Ireland, between 1903 and 1970, it was a religious holiday, and that meant the pubs were shut down.
Yeah.
Okay. Is the how the tables turn, you know? Once America gets a hold of it, it's like, nope.
It's all over.
Now it's trash.
We'll literally disparage the meaning it had and make it a blasphemous
capitalist holiday.
Here's some green. Here's some snakes. Let's drink some.
Let's pour slammers. This bottle of green food coloring into a keg and destroy college youth.
I mean, that is America, baby.
So we looked up some St. Patrick's Day crimes. A lot of them do have to deal with drinking. There was a party in Hoboken in 2011. 34 people were arrested. 136 people went off in ambulances. Someone set their backyard on fire. A man in green boxers peed in a stairwell. It was a decent night, actually.
I kind of wish I was there.
Yeah.
Now,
136 people went away in ambulances.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
Overall, the hospital admitted 166 people, which is a record single day for the hospital.
That is insane from this one party.
Probably the biggest and most infamous crime that happened on St. Patrick's Day was the Gardner Museum heist.
Yes.
Ooh. Do y'all know about this one?
Yeah, I watched a Netflix show.
That is the crazy. It's called This Is a Robbery, I think. It is an excellent documentary.
For those of you who don't know what it is, two men that were wearing police uniforms with fake mustaches went into the museum, you know, knocked on it and said, hey, we're investigating a disturbance. Very, very similar, by the way, to the movie The Town and the heist when they rob Fenway Park with Ben Affleck.
Billy, you made a mistake. It's called a mustache.
You gotta correct when you need to correct, you know?
Yes.
Mustache.
Okay. Mustache. So with the mustaches on their faces, they handcuff security guards.
You know what? A fake mustache should be called a mustache.
Yeah. That's right. Or a muff, M-U-F-F, muffstache.
I think that's something different, but okay.
Yeah. No, that's a merkin. A fake pubic hair puff is a merkin. Don't confuse the listeners.
Yes, all right. Also in the merch store.
Are you blushing, Kelly? Okay.
No, I'm not.
He's like, fuck, I have a merkin in the other room.
Yeah. No, I'm just thinking
about
merch.
Put away my merkin before we
I'm just thinking about merch ideas. That's all.
Yeah.
So it seemed like they knew which ones they were getting. They specifically skipped ones. They got other ones. They took about 12 dozen pieces of art. Within 90 minutes, $300 million. To this day,
crazy,
still unsolved, and you know, a great idea. You know, doing it on St. Patrick's Day in 1990. Nobody knows who did it. South American drug cartel, Japanese underworld, local mobsters. The Netflix documentary "This Is a Robbery" was leaning towards the local mobsters, and that's the crazy thing about it, because you have these incredibly expensive, you know, priceless works of art. You can't really show them to many people because people might know where they're from, you know, so do you keep it in a hidden room somewhere?
I don't know. One of the big theories is that they've been destroyed because, like, the cops were too close and it was like, you got to fucking get rid of them. And, like, that's the most heartbreaking idea. It's like, oh, you stole them to burn them because the cops were on you, because your life would be ruined if they found them.
Too much heat.
And it's probably, it's probably what happened. I don't know.
That, like, stresses me out to think about. It's just so horrible.
So fucking pointless.
Yeah.
I know. It's like, yeah, how do you even reap the benefits of that when you can't? Yeah. Unless you're, like, selling it on the dark web or something. Like, I don't even know how you would sell that.
Yeah.
It's possible. In certain circles overseas, it's possible you'd never find out.
It's probably these people that are, like, so rich that they're basically invisible are the ones that are, like, buying the artworks and, like, putting them up in their fucking mansions on their islands and shit.
I just feel like the buffoons who stole it wouldn't know how to get to those people.
Right. One of the ideas is that they were using it as collateral for other things. Like, you're going to keep this as collateral for when I go, just because it's like, it's currency and it's worth a lot of money, but it's not currency that you can use. So if you needed to borrow something, you would give that in. Nobody knows. Probably will never know. That's just what happened.
So crazy. It's a crazy fucking story.
And in Tennessee in 2010, a guy named David Christopher Cotton robbed a bank on St. Patrick's Day dressed as a leprechaun. He had the hat.
This picture. I put a picture in our document. We'll put it on Instagram.
Yes. And not only that, the bank teller's wearing green too.
I know. He has this like shitty fucking beard, a pair of like ugly ass sunglasses, and like the crappiest hat. It looks like it's from Spencer's.
Oh, easy on Spencer's, all right? Jeez.
It does look like one of those Spencer's hats. I loved Spencer's, but it looks like a Spencer's hat.
You'd be like, fuck you, know you Spencer's, poor... Hot Topic for life.
No, I liked Spencer's, but Spencer's was kind of weird. They had all like that. They had that sex section in the back.
Spencer's had the sex section. And then before that, like in the late 70s, early 80s, they had a head shop. Like the Spencer's really? In my mall had a head shop. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, to Spencer's, buy pipes and stuff. Yeah. It was kind of bizarre, the whole layout. Like I'd go in there when I was like 10 years old and I'd be like in the back looking at like the sex cards. Like,
me too.
Looking all, yeah.
Me too. And like when I wanted to be wild, I'd get someone like a dick gift. And I was like, yeah. Don't know. I've never seen a dick, but like I feel like this is true. This is probably what they look like. Because we didn't have Google like, yet, you know?
Like, it's like a drawing of a dick that's like 3 feet long.
Yeah, and I was like, this is what a dick is. So imagine my disappointment when I finally saw one.
Fuck. You're like, Spencer's really did me wrong.
Truly, yeah, thank like you, false Spencer's expectations.
For giving us men body dysmorphia.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you guys are just fine. Men are doing just fine.
You'll be fine.
Okay, so now here's the thing. He actually robbed a bank 3 days earlier wearing a Santa costume. So he was going all in. I think he might have gone Easter Bunny the next time, but his
he went all thing, Easter Bunny. Can we start like making that a thing? That guy went all Easter Bunny.
He's going all Easter Bunny on his ass. Yeah, but
ooh, I like that.
But
me here, too.
It actually ends really bad though, guys, because his getaway driver and him were killed in a shootout with local police.
He went Easter Bunny.
That's rock bottom.
It's rock bottom, man.
Going Easter Bunny is going to be a code word for rock bottom.
Dude, he fucking went. Or she. She Easter Bunny all, is even worse.
She went all Easter Bunny.
No, yeah. She-ster Bunny.
She-ster Bunny.
You know what it means.
You know
that's
what?
The name of a band.
Uh-huh.
We're going to learn about all of you She-ster Bunnies and your worst She-ster Bunny moments.
And He-ster Bunnies.
And He-ster Bunnies. Right after this break.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
You are a horrible person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Hello, worsty, firsty friends. It's me, Alexis. I'm here to absolve you of your pain and absolve you of your disdain, self-disdain. All right, it's not like a stanza, I'm sorry. I'm going to dive right into the worst things you've ever done. Please continue to call, by the way. And we should start sharing the number again.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to do that right now. Hang tight before I continue, because we want more of these. I mean, we have plenty, don't get me wrong, but we want more. So that number is 323-539-3516. 323-539-3516. Call us. And when they ask for your name... We don't hear that. I don't even know why they ask. I've never heard that once. And you can just lie and be like, I'm Billy Jensen. And that's
not my, that do my voice. You know my voice.
and Billy Jensen justice.
No, whenever justice. No, whenever Alexis does my voice, it's no. Well, you know,
oh,
you
do, Billy Jensen justice.
I'm so stupid.
Yeah, but he still says justice at the end of whatever he's talking about.
Justice.
I'm Justice Jensen,
and it's the same as every other dumb guy voice. We will be talking about the dumb guy voice on Killing Time.
They every woman knows what I'm talking about, and every man knows what I'm talking about
because they resonate with it because it's fucking true.
No, every man is going to be like, wait a minute, that's my voice. That's the voice.
That's the voice that my wife makes when she's talking about me.
Every man's inner dialogue sounds like this.
Yeah. Do I want to watch football or do I want to watch baseball? I don't know.
I'm going to drink a beer.
Do I want pizza rolls?
And women are like, that's how I feel that my husband sounds like.
Because all men, they sound like there's that comes from truth.
There's a reason why women who don't know each other do the same voice for dumb men. And it's because that's how they sound.
Yes.
Anyways, we digress. On to the first worst thing.
Hi, everybody. My name is Rhonda. I'm from Chicago. First, let me say, absolutely love you guys. Total true crime nerd. Total elder emo. Kind of was a goth in college, too. So I'm your BFF for all you guys. Okay, so... worst thing I've ever done. Maybe not the worst thing I've ever done, but let's start at the beginning when I was pretty young. And then it's kind of relative to me now. So when I was born in 1990. So when I was, I don't know, maybe like 6 or 7. So this was 1997. I decided with me and my best friend Allie that we were going to run away. And we were living in the same apartment complex at the time. So what we did is we decided let's pack up our Crayola little rolling suitcases with all of our best stuff, one pair of clothes, and then let's go for a walk. So on a nice summer day, these 2 7-year-olds decided to walk 3 miles to the park down the road. Now, this was Chicago, so it wasn't down the road, country road, you know, looking at all the birds hanging out. This was crossing a bunch of streets, walking down residential, you know, areas with all the houses, just people looking at us like, what are these little kids doing? But I thought it was fun, and we were running away and enjoying ourselves. So we got to the park, and we just kind of swung around, hung out. And then I remember this feeling even today that there was this dad just looking at us and wondering what was going on. And I'm like, yeah, we should go back. Maybe we shouldn't run away anymore. So I had kind of a sense, and I decided, I don't want people staring at us, wondering what's going on. We didn't do this correctly, so let's head back home. So we walked another 3 miles back home, and in the middle of the street, my mom and my best friend Allie's mom were standing with a whole bunch of cops, just like freaking out, standing in the middle of the road. I felt so horrible. I could picture it even today, that being so long ago. But I was always so spunky, and I still am. And like I said, I can always call back with some things I did in high school as like an emo scene kid doing some horrible things. And then in college being like a gothy artsy kid doing some horrible things. But just starting off so young, being independent, wanting to run away and taking my little Crayola suitcase with me and all my 90s toys. It was just, I thought it was so cool and so fun, but I feel really bad for my mom because now I know how it feels. I have 3 kids of my own. I have 2 stepdaughters that come in and hang out with me all summer long. So I have 5 kids in the house.
Rhonda, first of all, love you.
Rhonda.
First of all, the urge to run away is not fleeting as just a child. It will persist throughout your life.
Yeah.
So you know what? You succumbed this one time, and that was the right time to do it because responsibilities, you had none.
And you got it out of your system at such a young age.
And I have to tell you, the only reason you should feel bad for your mom, and I'm sure she's over it now, but she, once her biggest fear was your safety.
Yeah.
And then after that is what's the other mom thought of her for like how you disappeared from the house, even though mm-hmm. it was like they were just playing. That is her, like her guilt after she knew you were safe was like this. was your friend allowed to come over again? Like, yeah. And it's not your mom's fault. Clearly it's yours, because moms don't think their 7-year-olds are scheming to leave.
Yeah.
And honestly, it was an honest, like, cute little, like, adventure. You're like, what is it? Homeward Bound, right? That movie. Or, like, Feifel Goes West. I mean, I think both of those were born out of different circumstances. But my point is that this was a journey of independence and inspiration. You didn't intend for it to go this way. And I'm sure both the moms were just excited you guys were okay. But I think after the safety, your mom was like, fuck, I look like that mom who didn't. Mm-hmm. Who wasn't monitoring the kids. But like, you're not supposed to watch kids literally 24/7. It's like you have to pee sometimes. I bet you snuck out. You sound crafty, Rhonda. You snuck out
she
in a moment
out,
of
sure.
opportunity. Your yeah. mom didn't have a chance in this scheme.
No, I mean, thank God you're okay. Because
thank goodness.
The beginning of that story really just sounds like every other true crime story you hear about a missing girl. Yeah. So thank God.
Yeah.
No, bravo. At least you had the wherewithal to be like, you know, we're going to turn it back around.
I also appreciate that. Sorry, Billy, go ahead.
Bravo for bringing a partner. You know, yeah. I think that's important.
Buddy and system.
The buddy system. I think that was probably the best idea that you had other than turning back.
Also, the last thing I'm going to say about this is that, like, your instinct about the dad at the park staring at you is like, he might be worried. It's like, maybe not. Maybe no. He's a fucking creep who is staring at two alone little girls.
That mm-hmm. seems more like it.
No, it could be either. I know for a fact my dad would be like, who's with these kids? You yes. know, dads go one of two ways. They're fucking creeps. Just like some people. Moms, or they're like, why are these kids alone? I have kids mm-hmm. this age. That's fucking weird. I don't see a mom within, like, you know, 600 feet of them. That's strange. So it could go either way, but I like that you're I like your glass half full approach, because my brain doesn't necessarily go there.
No.
You did nothing wrong. I'm glad you're thriving, and I hope your mom forgives you. Yes. We love you, Rhonda.
We love you. You're our BFF.
Love you, Rhonda.
Hi, best friends. So I've been wanting to call in for a while, but I could never decide on the right story on account of my being a debaucher, a scofflaw and all. But yesterday I got a call that reminded me of this story. So here goes. I am a lifelong barista. I started in high school, and despite earning several degrees in my useless passions, I am still a barista today. All these years spent in coffee shops, I've seen all kinds of weird shit. So one time, like 10 years ago, I was working the drive-thru when a man pulled up to the window with no pants on. He was fully erect and smiling like an asshole. The teenage girl I was training promptly burst into tears and ran away. But I collected myself, and I carried on with the transaction, and I played it cool, pretended not to notice. And then as I reached through the window to hand over his coffee, I dug deep, deep down inside and summoned my best oops. And I dropped his large extra hot soy white mocha right in his naked ass lap. He yelped, and I just looked at him, and he demanded the manager, and I was the manager. And then this guy actually called the cops. By the time they got there, he was wearing pants, and he said that I tried to burn him on purpose, and he wanted to file assault charges. Once the cops heard the whole story, though, they arrested him, obviously. So pre-COVID, I told this same story at a party. And yesterday, I got a call from a girl who was at that party. She recently started working a drive-thru, and when some perv rolled up on her sans pants, she knew exactly what to do. So I guess this can't be the worst thing I've ever done, because I scalded that dick's dick and I don't feel bad at all. Actually, now I own my own coffee shop and I might put that shit in the employee handbook. So thanks a lot for listening to my story. I listen to a ton of podcasts and you guys have always been my favorite. I love you all so much.
You're a hero. Yeah. International Whoa. Hero.
Oh my God. And you're spreading the wealth. How many I'm sorry. What the fuck is wrong with people?
I've seen two dicks this way. I've been forced to see two dicks who rolled up on me, pulled up when I was like walking on a sidewalk with no fucking pants on, with a heart, like, with an erection. I've been forced to, but I didn't have any hot liquids.
I know.
To throw at their crotch. But if I, it's honestly the most invasive, strange shit. And I don't think men could really even imagine if a woman did, if a woman had done this. But I'm just saying, like, it's the strangest way to be assaulted. Because you're not, you're just like, oh, I'm going to fucking traumatize you and scare you. Like, am I going to just stay in this car? Am I going to rape you? Am I going to kill you? Like, I don't think men realize, like, when we see, when we're accosted that way, we think we might die. Because, like, rarely are we sexually, like, forced upon in a way when we're not, like, almost going to get raped or killed.
Right.
So, like, I don't think men realize how fucking scary it is for women walking alone. And the two times this has happened to me, I was either 19 or younger. So it was like, it's just a terrifying thing to do. I fucking, the balls on this dude though, to roll up to a Starbucks, a drive-through coffee establishment.
Yeah.
No brand associated with it. But, and there are others besides Starbucks in other, in some states. But anyways, I don't want to say it's Starbucks if
you don't
I'm wrong.
Say, yes.
That's okay. We got it.
It's not the yes.
But
okay.
Like the balls literally on him.
Though, and also then to think that after she spilt the coffee on him, to have the audacity to call the cops and think that he would be in the right. Like, how fucked up and delusional and disgusting can you be thinking that? It's like, you know what? Well, she did this to me, and but I'm going to put my pants on and nobody will notice. It's like, go fuck yourself.
I bet you he did that because he's gotten away with it. Like,
this isn't the first time he's done it.
That audacity, though, about, like, men turning shit around on women when they do shit like that to them, it used to work.
Yeah.
And it probably still works sometimes, like, where cops can be convinced that the man is the victim. You know what I mean?
I also don't think it's, like, him rolling up so casually to this coffee establishment with his pants just all the way off. Like, there's no way that's just the first time he tried to do that. So of course he is like rolling around. Like, he probably just like poked the tip of his dick out in the beginning, and now he's just like no pants at all. And it's like, dude, you deserve to get all the fucking hot scalding coffee spilt all over your dick. I hope it makes your dick not work, and have a good day, sir.
I hope something like that happens to me. The person I am now, because the person I was back then was like terrified, you know, but I'd be scared, but I would really fucking fuck this guy's life up.
Well, you just have to start working in a coffee place.
Yeah.
Or just walk on the street more, because it happens to people no matter
what. What are you going to do on the street?
Carry around hot coffee the entire time?
Lunge through the window.
Work.
Honestly, I'll do something crazy. I'm empowered.
Let's not.
Now.
Let's not do that.
I'm not encouraging you to do it, people.
Hopefully, Alexis will be with us next week.
Yes.
No promises. Not
We're
if I get
Alexis off. The
not
streets.
If any exhibitionists come fuck with my
yes.
Fuck
Nobody.
With me.
Yes. All men just stay out of Hollywood. Okay.
That's right. Because I'm everywhere. And if you're
she'll
you
getcha.
Might just be compelled.
Yes.
She will get you.
Oh my God. Okay. That was an incredible couple.
Worsty firsties.
Worsty firsties.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing.
Nice job. Keep I feel everybody. Invigorated.
Great. Well, then I'm sure you're invigorated to let us know what your Costanza stanza is this week.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is good. So last week's, I know I said they would be really good. And it was okay. But you'll see I'm working towards a crescendo because this is going to be better. This is going to be even better. And then next week, we're going to like climax with okay. All right.
There is actually a week in between the week that you're thinking of.
I'm going to climax in 3 weeks.
Okay.
Whatever the fuck. I don't know, Jacqueline. This poem is called Jerome's Little Leprechaun.
This is why you asked if Jerry's name was Jerome.
I wasn't sure. I'm Jerry's little leprechaun, hiding in his apartment, though he wishes me gone. I'm looking for his pot of gold. I'll steal it all. Can't be controlled. Green with envy, green with rage. Can't work to earn even a meager wage. With short stature, I'm a city gnome. Chasing rainbows all the way back to Jerome's.
That's why you wanted to.
Well, that's why I was like, I need to know if Jerry's real name is Jerome, because otherwise this poem isn't going to work.
Elaine calls him Jerome a lot. Yes.
No, I liked that. The Jerome that is was really.
And I love getting a text like that in the middle of the day. Is real name Jerome?
Jerry Seinfeld's real name Jerome?
On the show Jerome. And it's like, and I love being able to say yes.
He's like, it. Yeah. I'm like, I thought so.
And then we didn't. There was no other messages for 3 hours. Google.
Yeah, that was the only thing. The only correspondence we had today was that. So they knew I was on to something.
We sure did. I loved it.
Okay. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, friends.
Bye. Irish slammer. Stunners.
Slammers.
Slammers. Slammers.
Irish slammers for everyone.
Stunners.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.